Are you saying you faked with me?
Yeah.
Wrong. Now you're single.
What do you know about sexual relations?
Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
I'm a little worried about being a slut.
You're listening to the Come With Us podcast, talking the good, the kinky, and the ugly. Here are your hosts, Beth, Aaron, and Tina.
Hello, 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 all you sexy holes and poles. Oh my goodness, welcome to Come With Us podcast, where you are part of all the fun, naughty, sexy conversations everyone wants to listen in on, especially this one. This, I am so excited because actually this is my first time interviewing, I hope it's okay, I call it a porn star. I know what adult film industry performer, et cetera. We'll talk about what the appropriate language is, but it's very, very exciting. So I'm Beth Darling, Sexy Genius, founder of sexyedschool.com. And that's where smart, successful, even spiritual people go for their graduate degree in love. Sorry, I'm like so excited. I've got so many questions to talk to. Holly the Hot Wife. Holly Hot Wife, right?
Yes, on Facebook. Correct.
Welcome, welcome. Aaron is here. Tina, unfortunately, is out sick today, so she's missing out on the fun, but I know it's too bad because she would have, she was very excited about this too. We've been waiting for weeks now for this interview, right?
Yeah,
right,
we've been working on setting this up. Friend of a friend of a friend got in contact with me and said, hey, I know, you know who Holly Hot Wife is? I was like, heard the name. Why? And like, because that's a weird thing when like a buddy, like, I'm not that open with anybody in my life. Like, to have a friend of mine go, hey, do you know who this porn star is? And be like, yeah, so like and so I was like, yeah, and he was like, well, I'm friends with her, and if you want to interview her, just let me know and I'll set it up. And so then I got in contact with you. You were excited about it because we've reached out to several other adult film stars who have been like, yeah, too busy, or I don't want to.
Yeah.
So yeah.
We're so excited. Okay. And by the way, y'all, if you are listening to the podcast, I promise you are gonna want to go watch the YouTube on this because Holly Hot Wife is hot. Tall, blonde, buxom, thin, beautiful, personable, a great smile, incredible blue eyes. I'm totally, I'm not really into women and stuff, but I would totally have a girl crush. And yes, it takes everything I have to be like, ooh, beautiful woman. I still like her. I'm not threatened by her, right? It takes a lot of work and effort, but so give me credit for being here with this gorgeous young. Yeah. So, all right. Welcome, welcome. I'm so excited. And let's see, you are Houston local, right?
I am.
Okay. Now tell, what's the appropriate term? What's the title that you like? Because I don't mean to be insulting. I just never know exactly.
Adult film star, porn star. Because I've been doing it for over 5 years. I've been in mainstream production. Either one of those is fine.
Okay.
I'm also an amateur porn star, which is really my main focus because that's what brings me pleasure and joy is the not acting part.
Okay. So tell us about that distinction from your standpoint, the amateur porn versus the acting porn.
So in amateur, there's no script. You get to choose who you work with, who you play with. It's up to the individual. It's more spontaneous. It's in the moment. It's organic. A mainstream production such as Brazzers or Blacked, and those are all fun and great.
Yeah.
But you normally don't get to choose who you work with. They give you your script about 3 days before. They fly you out and all, put you up in a hotel and all that. And all that's great.
Do you have to learn a bunch of lines? I know this is silly, but
porn. How long is an actual script for a porn?
So it's not that long, but the production, like the all day event, is about 8 to 9 hours long.
To film one.
And it's about a 20 to 30 minute scene. So sometimes it might be a little bit longer depending how many people are involved.
Okay,
so
I just want people to understand that, right? Because again, porn is often the only sex education that people get, besides junior high, A goes into B and then, whatever.
Right. Or from their friends.
Yeah, or from, right. So, but 8 or 9 hours of filming to get cut down into 20 or 30 minutes. Yes. So that should be pretty, you know, give everybody a clue that the sexy it's that work. You're seeing is not.
It's work.
Oh, yeah.
Natural, if you will, right? It's staged. It's all staged.
Right. Okay. I don't know if I've ever brought this up. So I interviewed, six or seven porn stars one time for one of the old radio stations I used to work for. And yeah, that was one of the things that, like, one of the final questions I would always ask them is like, hey, what do you want average, like, I said it this way and we didn't air, or like I had to bleep it out on the air at time. I said, what do you want to know average Joe jerking off? What is one thing you want him to know about your career and everything like that? And like, I think three of the five were like, yeah, that 30 minute video, if they make it all the way through all 30 minutes, it took me an 11 and a half hour day to get it done. So like, while they'll work like 7, maybe 8 hours a day at their regular 9-to-5 job. Yeah, no, I got there at 5 a.m. I had to eat breakfast on the way, and I couldn't eat too much breakfast because I couldn't be bloated for it. And then, and she was, and like, one of them was like, yeah, and I sweat a lot. So like, we had to break every 20 minutes because I have to completely clean up, redo makeup and everything like that, because I get really sweaty when I have sex. And I was like,
and then your makeup artists stay there throughout the whole day because, you know, if you get, you know, fluids on you. Then, you know, or lube in your hair, or, you know, then they stay there and, you know, have to, it's kind of like a stop, start throughout the whole entire thing. So,
oh my goodness.
It's okay. That's
so anybody who wants to critique my video editing. Yes. I'm not porn star video editing level good.
There you go. Okay.
If you're watching on YouTube.
Okay. So amateur porn though, is it, you still decide, okay, we're going to go and film this, right? But then do you stop and start it, or does it just sort of
Sometimes flow? Stop and start. So because it is spontaneous and organic, if the person needs to shower up real quick, I mean, you know, if they've been working all day or whatever the case may be, you know, that can happen. If they can't get hard and they need a few minutes to do that, or if they are, you know, under some pressure, they've never filmed before, it might take a little bit longer for them to, you know, be able ready to perform. Sometimes, you know, I need a minute, you know, special reasons, but there's some stopping and starting, but it's not an 8 hour day. It could be, you know, the film that we make could be 7 minutes to, you know, 30 to 55 minutes. I usually don't do more than an hour, just because, well, I don't know. I'm 40.
Okay,
like an hour.
But so even when people watch amateur porn, don't think that that's just one ongoing session.
It can be. There are some. There are because the,
but it
the
may
amateur.
Or may not be.
The, if it's organic and you're hot and heavy in the moment, there's no stopping. Like there's no stopping.
Okay.
There can be in the instances like I have this thing with smells. If you have any body odor or stinky feet, like please go wash up. And I won't know that until you take your shoes off, you know, or your pants off or your shirt off, and I smell your underarms. Like, well,
so I just, again, for people just watching and stuff. So just heads up that it may or it may not be. So
correct.
Don't just think, oh, this is absolute. So,
right.
Okay. All right.
Whenever you watch the film that I just made, you can tell if it's been stopped and started. Like you just watch if there's a cut in it, if it skips over to something else, there was a cut for some reason and it could have been because I had to go pee, you know, like who knows.
Right.
But there are some where they're 55 minutes long and there are no breaks and everything was spot on, like fantastic, perfect. So,
okay.
So when you said like, if they've gotten off of work, so like when you say amateur porn, you're talking like real amateurs, like people who, like just everyday dudes,
right,
or
everyday
women
dudes
that you've just met. How do you meet them? Or like, how do you find people like this? Like,
So because me and my husband are in the lifestyle, there's a lot of, people who also do OnlyFans and porn and work. But there are also strangers. I call them strangers. And what I like to do, how I like to please, is I like to find average Joe guys that don't really get, like, you know, the cut up muscly guys that get all the pussy out. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can say whatever you want.
that get all the pussy all the time. That's not who I'm attracted to them. Of course, they're cute, but I don't want to get them laid. I want to get the average Joe laid because I want to make his week, his month, his year, his life, who knows? So
I love that.
Sorry, I'm up at a bar.
Porn star with heart.
Yeah.
That's our title. Porn star with heart.
It's what gets me off. You know, that pleases me, and that may be selfish, but in turn pleases them. You know. And I'm not saying I've never, you know, had sex with a really hot specimen of a dude or a woman. That's not the case. I have, but the strangers I'm seeking out could be at a bar, at a club, in the lifestyle, somebody that I've just met.
So if our audience members mm-hmm. want to audition or so send in, how do they reach you?
I do a Fuck a Fan. At pretty much every city that I go visit on my Twitter, which is at Holly Howwife. About 3 days to a week before I visit a city, I will post I'm about to be in that city. And I'll have my schedule of things that I'm going to do. It's usually very busy. I hardly have any time to play or, you know, vacation or go sightseeing, whatever. It's mostly work.
Yeah.
But what I like to do is keep one evening open for Fuck a Fan. And so I post where I'm going to be. Say I'm going to Tiki Hut Bar and Grill. Oh, goodness. Lightning.
Yeah. Crazy outside.
Tiki Hut Bar and Grill at, you know, 7 o'clock. If you're a fan, please come up and, you know, spend some time with me. I like to meet people, get there. I like energies. I'm attracted to energies.
Yeah.
And intelligence.
Yes. That's safe and sexual.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I like to meet them. I like to take pictures with them. They make me feel, you know, so
if they light you up. Yes.
And I make them feel special for that time. You know, I love to sit and talk and, you know, hear their backgrounds and, you know, just speak with them. And if we get there at 7, at about, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock, I drink beer. So, you know, we're getting our inhibitions down, you know, for a couple hours. At about 9 or 10 o'clock. I'll snag, you know, 4 or 5 of them and ask them with, you know, my husband or a bodyguard or whatever, ask them if they'd like to go to a near hotel and go have some fun. And, that's what we do.
Oh my God. 4 or 5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So is it one at a time or is it all kind of at
depends
once?
On what they want. All depends on what they want. Some will stay outside because if one of them doesn't want to be viewed by another person in the room, then, you know, I'll ask for them to step outside. Some love group play and they want to watch. Some are exhibitions, some are voyeurs. Some I've had a couple of guys just stand in the corner and jerk off the whole time just because they wanted to see it.
Wow.
And they didn't want to be involved. And it's not like they had a little tiny pecker or anything.
Right.
It's like, that's what got them off. Right. So people just
each have their own thing. So, do you film those?
If they want to be filmed? Yes. I ask before we leave because I want this to be filmed because that also brings
that's what
in,
I was thinking is that-,
that also brings in, oh my God, Holly Hotwife actually fucks her fans, you know,
wow.
But there's proof of it, you know? And if I didn't film it, then there would be no proof and everybody would be like, yeah, she's just talking out of her ass. So, I ask that they do. If they don't want to, but I really like that person, then I won't make them film, you know?
Wow.
And of course you have to get model release forms and consent and all of that stuff. So,
cause then once you film with them, then you can sell that, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. As long as you get your consent forms intact. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Can you imagine just going to a bar and being like, hey, 4 or 5 women come on and your wife being okay? I mean, it's pretty wild.
Like, wait a minute, like having my wife just go and wrangle up 4 or 5 dudes?
No, if your wife
was
there. Yeah, and she was like, sure, Aaron, grab a couple, 4 or 5, however many you want.
The idea of more than probably one woman in this world actually wanting to put up with me for sex is a foreign concept to me as it is. So no, I could not imagine 4 or 5 women vying for my attention and my affection.
It would be a dream
come true.
I mean, like, I don't know, like,
it can be a little overwhelming at times. If, you know, more than like 15 show up, I'm like,
But even if I were like a single dude and I don't know if I'd have the balls to just show up and like, even if I were single and you said, hey, I'm coming to Houston and I'll be at bar XYZ. I think I'd be like, oh, I like the idea of that. But then all of a sudden I would get in my car and I'd be like, holy shit. Like, have I thought this through? Cause I overthink things, but I also like, I think everything all the way through. I think of every scenario that could possibly happen from start to back.
And he focuses on the negative. Right. Let's just be clear.
I focus on the negative, but I also focus on the positive. Like, I like to know what the positive could be. And so, like, mm-hmm. my brain, like, if I'm putting myself in this right now, I would be sitting in my car, and I would be sitting with the engine on, and I would turn off the radio for a second so I could think, and I would go, okay, what's the good, what's the best part?
What's the upside?
I could bang a really, really hot, hot woman that, like, holy shit. But then, like, one of the many thousands of bad things that could happen is like, what if it's a setup and they kill me?
Right.
Oh my God.
Like, what if
you're kidding
me? Or what if they blackmail me? Or what if just the fact that, like, what if I get there and I can't get it up? Or what if I get there and, like, oh, well, I'm not the most attractive guy? Like, well, my video would be like, what if I get there and I'm not the most attractive guy and I don't get picked? Then my ego's hurt that even a porn star doesn't want to fuck me. How horrible am I of a human? And so then I would probably sit there for about 45 minutes trying to talk myself in or out of it and finally turn off my car, go back inside, and then just go, all right, I'm just going to drink beer and watch sports.
And then you see Holly Hot Wife walking out. Oh, we're done. Sorry.
I love it.
I'm pretty much a worry wart too. I have a tad bit of social anxiety.
That's really funny to hear from a porn star, right? That's just like, oh, okay.
That's what a lot of people say is that. I would never know that. Like, I can't tell. Like, even my really close friends, it's all in my head. And outwardly, I may not show it, but in here, my mind is going, like, the alarm's really like, wah, wah, wah. And it's not so much, it's all the bad things that could happen, or all of the, what if I'm not good enough? You know, all of the insecurity things, you know, just everything that you described. I get that too. That's why I drink like 6 beers before. I do not drink liquor or wine, but I love beer, and it loosens my inhibitions right before.
But doesn't it make you like fart and gassy and stuff?
So it makes me burp. Make me burp.
Okay. I'd be so worried about farting in the middle of something.
It's one of those enigmas. There you go. I can't say it. You say it.
That's okay.
It's one of those. Yeah. Because all of my friends, they're like, I don't understand. How do you not get bloated and gassy?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I've always been able to drink beer and I burp a lot. That's it. But it just doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't do that for me.
That's so funny.
I mean, it might make me full if I drink like 12 beers before like a meal. I won't eat that much that I was normally going to eat, but it's not often that I drink 12 beers before I'm going to go eat some food. So
I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I understand that. Cause like I'm normally I'm not shy. Like I can go out and I can do an appearance or I can, you know, show up and meet people and I'll sit at a bar and I'll make friends with everybody in that bar. But in the back of my mind, there's also a little voice that just I have to eventually turn off.
Yeah.
That is like, okay, like overthinks everything, is nervous and shy. And everybody goes, oh, you work in radio. You're always on the air. You always meet people. Like, how does that not bother you? And it's like, oh, it bothers me.
It bothers me. Yeah.
Eventually, you know, I go to sleep at night and I have some weird, unique ability where I can just shut everything off and go, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
Day's gone. Can't change it. Got to go on tomorrow.
Right.
So like, it's not probably nearly as bad as what your brain is going through, but like that
many years of therapy and coping skills that I've, you know, had throughout my, years of, you know, being in the social spotlight, pretty much, sometimes I'll have a tissue in my hand and no one will even know. It could be a bar napkin. I'll just sit there and just kind of crinkle it in my hands and, nobody notices it, but it's a fidget.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm focusing on this, but it's that I'm not focusing on anything. So I'm doing this. I can talk to a person and it kind of relieves some tension, so to speak. And that's just one of them. It's one of the coping skills.
Okay. So can we start with how you got into this? Is that cool, Aaron? Again, we've got so much. So, and just FYI, we already know this is going to be part one. So, y'all are going to have to stay tuned because we're going to go through.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Holly, how did you find your way into porn? Like, how do you just wake up one day and go, oh my God, right? I want to go be naked and have people film me having sex.
So, as a younger girl at 15, I was a model. Whenever I moved, I'm originally from Louisiana. I moved here whenever I was 15. My mom was here working at a plant, and I was living with my dad in Louisiana. I moved here with my mom, and I got like scouted out at the Galleria.
Because how tall are you? You have to tell
me. I'm only 5'10, but I was 5'11 before kids.
Okay. Yeah. So 5'11, blonde hair?
Blonde hair, yeah.
Yes.
Just thin, tall, always thin, yeah.
Leggy,
and,
yes.
But I was always a bit risky, promiscuous, you know, very sexually free. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 15, and we can go into that discussion another time, but stick on the path that we're on. So I started modeling. And it was only, you know, fashion and glamour. But I always like, you know, I was wearing the crop tops and, you know, spaghetti straps.
So you were exposing yourself and using your body. Okay.
Right. And yeah, it wasn't necessarily in a sexual way. I never used modeling as in any sexual way. It was glamour and fashion. No swimsuits, no lingerie, none of that.
Okay.
But I was used to my body doing the work, you know, or my face or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, throughout high school, I did that. I got pregnant at 18. Whenever I graduated high school, I was 4 months pregnant. Wow. And became a mom and got married and was married for 10 years, stopped modeling. Wow. During that process, you know, because, you know, you're fat and pregnant. So stopped all of that. And then at 28, I got a divorce. And kind of not really got back into modeling, but was just kind of dipping my toe, seeing what was out there just for extra money. And a couple of years had gone by, and I met my now husband, Vincent, who was like, he knew the people that I needed to get in touch with to get back into modeling. And this time it was, you know, more lingerie, swimsuit, fitness, you know, erotic. The erotic took a little bit to get back or to get into, because my self-esteem from my previous marriage had been just like really, really low and just not good. But I did, you know, have my breast augmentation done, and I was starting to feel better about myself. And
so let me just, if I can, from your divorce, mm-hmm. your self-esteem plummeted, but you still felt okay modeling in swimsuits and lingerie.
After I met my now husband, my now husband has like, he grew me. He grew me back into what I was before.
Okay.
Somehow he just, his support, his love, he made me feel like a queen. And so then got into modeling, and then a little bit more risque stuff, the erotic, the nude, you know, nude art. And then, you know, toys were brought in, and, you know, fingers and, yeah, things like that. But then
at that point, were you doing this for like some other production company? Because I know
just independently, side hustle, making my money. I was just charging photographers for their portfolio. Like if they needed, you know, a set of, you know, swimsuit or erotic or whatever, I'd say, you know, $250 an hour, and I would just make some money off of that.
Okay.
Well, then my husband was, you know, he's a little freaky deaky, and he wanted me to like really dip my toe in a little bit more, and he wanted me to start webcamming. Actually, hang on, let me back us up just a tad. So Tumblr days, y'all remember Tumblr?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so me and my husband were on Tumblr for a while whenever we first started dating, and we both had office sales jobs at this time, and we kind of created a following by our fans would dare. My husband would ask for the fans to send a dare or two in a day for me to, like a sexy dare.
Wow.
For me to, you know, do throughout the day, like, go flirt with your boss in the stairwell, or, you know, take your panties off in your cubicle and, you know, take a picture of them, or, you know, just easy stuff like that. And we gained a huge, huge following by doing that. And then
was this fun for you?
It was. Oh my gosh, it was.
That's what I think.
Because
people
that
miss.
That promiscuous young teenager like came back out, you know, and was like, I want to do like sexually free stuff. You know, I'm kind of a hippie at heart. I like burned the bra years ago, you know. Like I think sexual freedom is like a very important part of a human being. And the healthy part is to be able to express it in a healthy way. Uh-huh. If it's not a healthy way, of course, you know, that's bad, but in a healthy way. And for us, because this is what gets him and I off at the end of the day, whenever we go back home to each other after our jobs, we're, you know, fucking like rabbits. Cause all throughout the day, I've been teasing him with these, you know, these things, these naughty things that I'm doing. So then he was like, well, have you ever heard of webcamming? I'm like, nope, never heard of it. What is it? And so he showed me a couple of girls doing webcamming, and he's like, you just sit in your house, you know, these people pay you to, you know, take your clothes off, talk to them. It's just like sitting at a bar. And I'd sit there and, you know, get my little cooler of, you know, 12 pack of beers and sit there and have the screen right in front of me. And people would tip me just to talk to them, to take my clothes off, to touch my breast, to put my boobies in the, you know, in the camera, like finger myself, you know, do all of the, you know, play with the toy, whatever it was. And I made such good money with that. I was like, wow, I never knew this existed. And so I'm still modeling. We're still doing the Tumblr stuff, start webcamming. And then my husband reaches out to, I don't even know who it was at this point in time because it was years ago. But he reaches out to someone. Oh, I remember. It's our friend George. George is a, he makes commercials. He's a very well, no, I don't, he might be well known now, but whatever. He does commercials and production, documentaries and stuff like that. And, but he's also in the lifestyle. And, my husband wanted us to make him, like him and I, to make a porn together just for our, you know, just for us to have. And whenever we made it, and our friend was very, very, skilled in this, I'm trying to think of what it was called, cause I'd like to name drop it on here. I'll think of it in a second. But anyway, it was our first porn and it was so hot. My husband was like, dude, we could get paid for this too. And I'm like, wow, let's do it. So we just started making our own amateur videos and gained a very big following on that. And then-
And let me interrupt for 1 second only, because so your husband though wasn't in the porn.
No.
Okay. But
no, he was in that one. It was me and him. Oh, made a movie.
Okay.
The production, our friend George, you know, filmed it all.
Gotcha.
George was actually in it as well at the very end, because he was like the third. You'd have to see it to understand it. But it was, the porn was just for him and I to do, and for our viewing pleasure. But because it was so good and it was so hot, my husband was like, we can make some really good money off of this.
Okay.
So.
And I know, I don't want you to have to speak for him, but generally he already liked the idea of being with other people.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So this was kind of a kink for him, a turn on, not just business.
For that, we'd have to go back to our first date for y'all to understand the dynamic of him sharing me with other people. So
come on, we want to hear this first date. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Did we get through how we got into porn? Is that good? That's a start. That's good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get a sip of water.
Oh my gosh. I'm thinking a first date and sharing somebody. Okay. So do tell. And how did you meet?
Okay. So one night I was meeting it's a couple friend, a man and a woman. I was meeting my friends at a bar, and it was like out on the water over in like the Clear Lake area. And before I knew him, my husband, he's a boater. So he had his boat and my friends were on his boat. And so they were coming to meet me on his boat. He didn't know that they were coming to meet me. They just said, we're going to meet a friend. And, so whenever he, you know, docked the boat and they all came up to the bar, they were like, oh, this is our friend.
Holly Hotwife.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And
not her real name.
And he
FYI.
Was like, he acted so totally cool. He was there for maybe 10 minutes. You know, we said a couple of little introductory, you know, statements to each other, but I was mostly there for that couple because I was actually going home to fuck them and be their third for the night. And that's kind of what I was doing in my single off time, was fucking my friends. Because okay. I made a vow to myself not to date for a year.
Oh, so, I like it. So not dating for a year, but yes, fucking your friends was okay.
My friends was okay. Because I'm not bringing them home. You know, I'm not introducing them to my kids. I'm not starting a relationship with them.
Right. The boundaries are set
exactly,
from the beginning.
Exactly. Okay. So, anyway, that was our first meeting, but not date. A few months had gone by. I was like 6 months. So my year
were you totally
almost
attracted to him?
I was. Okay. Yeah. And okay. So what I didn't know was he had seen me on Facebook before this and knew who I was, but really wanted to meet me, but never had. Oh. And didn't know that we had mutual friends in common. So he had been lusting after me for a while.
Oh, I like that.
So, and I was very attracted to him whenever we met that first time. So then about 6 months had gone by. I connected with him on LinkedIn for work purposes only. He was in the steel industry, and I was working for a tax credit firm at the time, and I wanted his R&D tax credits. And so we started talking on LinkedIn. I think maybe a month or so goes by. And I don't know if y'all have ever heard of this, but the Outlaw Poker Challenge down in the Kima area, it's a boat poker run. No. It's like 3 or 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. It's just a big boating event.
Fun.
I've never been around boats. You know, I've been on like little fishing boats in like, you know, Lake Kentucky and like ponds, you know, in Louisiana. That's about it.
Yeah.
But he invited me to, at the very last minute, I think it was like on a Tuesday, and the event started on Thursday. And on LinkedIn, he invited me to the 4-day date, Thursday through Sunday. And he specifically said, if you're going to come on the boat, you know, please make sure you're going to be there the whole time. For various reasons, it's hard to, oh, I have to be dropped off at this time. I have to be dropped off. Right. You're on a boat. Be on the boat.
Okay.
So I had to basically.
So your first date is 4 days?
Commit to a 4-day date.
Wow.
I'm like,
wow. All right,
let's see. So he puts me on this group chat that is for the Outlaw Poker Challenge. And I'm on the group chat, and all of these people are very sexually free. And I'm like, this wow. kind of sounds like, and I know like maybe 3 or 4 of them. And it's a group of like 30 or so people. And very sexually free on the group chat. Everybody's, you know, just having the time of their lives. I'm like, you know what? This actually sounds really fun. And he's got referrals. You know, he knows my friends. I've asked around, you know, he seems like a cool guy. So, I said, you know what? I live, you know, at that time I lived in Friendswood. I said, I'm only a few miles away. You know, if I don't like it at some point, I can just get up and leave. Like, it's okay. Yeah. And he gave me that option. He said, I'd really like you to stay for the 4 days. That way I'm not having to, you know, drop you off, pick you up, all of that.
Right.
We can be in the contest and all of that stuff. And, so I committed to the 4-day date. I go up to we meet at a hotel because he's got his boat on a trailer. He's driving like this big Hummer, and you know, he's a tall walking man. He's only 5'6" and a half, but he's got some stature about him. You know, I call him like a peacock or a rooster, because I mean, he thinks he's the shit, and he is.
That's but, so cool. Okay.
Yeah, so I already liked his vibe, you know, that he's given off. And
so then you're on the boat and it's poker. How do you get into sharing?
Hang on 1 second. So before I go up, because I've got luggage and stuff, you know, and this is the first night. The first night, Thursday, is the street party night. So I've got to go put all my luggage up in this hotel room. And he goes, oh, by the way, we're staying with this other couple in this room. I'm like, well, you didn't tell me that. It's okay. Let's, you know, let me go meet them. So I stopped in the parking lot. I've got my luggage. I'm like, hang on, before we go up, I just want to like kiss, like French kiss you, and see if we have any like chemistry at all. And he was like, okay. And he's a little nervous.
Oh my
God.
Yeah.
So like in the valet area, there's like this little circle concrete bench, sat down. We kissed. He tasted like Red Bull, which I hate, but we had a great chemistry.
That's so funny.
We had a great chemistry. And I was like, okay, at least there's chemistry there, you know, but he was sober. So he doesn't drink. So, that was also a green sign for me, not, you know, which I drink, but not to, you know, extents to get all freaked out. But anyway, so we go up to the hotel room, and I meet this couple, cool as hell, like just amazing, like energy, just cool people. So at this point I'm all in, you know, I'm all in. And so we get, you know, to the street party. We have a lot of fun. We go back to the hotel. I think we only stay at the street party for like 3 hours. And then we go back to the hotel, and we end up having a foursome that night with this couple. And it just kind of like happened. They had like sex toys and lingerie. And she's like, here, you want to put this on? And I'm like, sure. You know, I'm coming from, you know, modeling and doing, you know, I'm getting my sexual freedom back, you know? And so I just thought, shit, why not? You know, I have chemistry with these two people and him, and he seems to have no like qualms about
That's
it.
Awesome.
He's like, yeah, go for it. So,
so funny. Cause in my head, I'm not actually even worried about the sex with this couple and stuff. I'm going, but I don't want to sleep all night because I snore. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not going to be good. This is all I'm thinking about is the lack of sleep. And then I'm going to have to stay up all night so I don't disturb everybody. I'm sure you're thinking about sex with other people.
I mean, I'd be thinking about how nervous I would be and be like, does anybody need ice or drinks? I'll just go to do that. Y'all have fun. I'll be back with refreshments later.
I was so in the moment and having such a good time with Vincent and this other couple. Like, there was no insecurities. They made me feel so welcome and just fun. It was just so much fun. And so that the next morning, whenever we woke up, he was like, so did you have a good time? And I was like, I had a great time. I was like, if we date, can we do this all the time?
Oh,
and
he goes, gosh.
I like it if you like it. I'm like, awesome.
Wow. I love that you actually asked for what you wanted. That's so huge.
Communication is key to me. I'm a very blunt and forward person. I'm a horrible liar. You can tell on my face, like, if I'm uncomfortable with something, you can definitely tell. So lying is just that. There's no point in it. But I also want verbally things to be spoken, because through text or, you know, things like that, or just by assuming things can be taken out of context, or you assume something and it's not the case. Yeah. I think verbal communication is key in most things in life. So
I say people all the time talk about how important communication is, and it is. But really what underlies that is that you have to know what you want, and then you have to be willing to actually communicate it. And that's the part I give you such kudos, because I think there are so many, particularly women, we've been so shamed for everything, all of our sexuality.
Right.
I can't imagine on a first date being like, oh, I want to keep doing this sexually and stuff. I think that's amazing. And I'm very impressed, and it bodes well for than your future life and sexy. Yeah. So.
And give props to my husband too, because I mean, I don't know if he like, and he'll, I don't think he'll ever tell if he set that up on purpose or not, but it worked. And
okay, we'll have to ask him that if he comes on, because I really would. I'd love to hear his perspective and stuff. I think that'd be awesome.
He wants to,
that'll be great. All right. I think we've got to kind of wrap
let's,
up.
Let's cut it here and we'll do another whole episode next week. Awesome. Because there's so much. I mean, you have about four pages of questions and stuff.
There's a lot to go through.
I know. It's so interesting to meet somebody who just, again, who you're well-spoken, you're interesting, you're insightful, introspective, and has lived a totally different life than what I've done, I think, right? It's really cool. So, okay. So thank you. So Holly Hot Wife, tell people again, Holly Hot Wife at Twitter. Tell them your Twitter
handle.
So the
best place to find all of my links is going to be on Twitter at Holly Hot Wife. There are a couple of imposters, so make sure it doesn't have any numbers at the end or any letters, no X's or anything like that. It is at Holly Hot Wife. That is it. And then you just go to the link tree and it'll give you all of the links. I also wanted to give a shout out to Sports Map Elite, also on Twitter. So at Sports Map Elite. I do a porn star pick of the week on Fridays, every Friday. And it's just a little blip. It's like a minute long video. But you need to check that out if you're into any kind of sports gambling or just into sports or into porn.
Or into Holly Hot Wife. I'm pretty much a fan right now of Holly Hot Wife, I have to say. Okay.
And then onlyfans.com/Holly Hot Wife. I guess that's really about it. Yeah. You can find everything else. I do not have Instagram. I've been kicked off so many times. But it's mostly because I have imposters trying to be me. And everybody just gets, they're like, you prove to be you. And nobody can prove to be anyone. So we all just get kicked off. So anyway, that's about that. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So again, at Holly Hot Wife on Twitter, and then you can find her link tree and find everything else, because you're definitely going to want to follow her.
Thank you so
much. This is awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Erin. And then we will wrap up, but we'll be back with part two and we'll go more into what it's like to be a porn star and, I don't know, body image, all these things I've got. So
lots of stuff.
So, okay. Well, thank you, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here for Come With Us podcast for the bare naked truth about love, sex, relationships, and porn stars at this point. So I'm Beth Darling, sexy genius. You can go to bethdarling.com or sexyedschool.com. Find me and Erin. Thank you so much. And again, Tina, we miss having you here, but hopefully she'll be better.
Yeah, she's got to get on the mend.
Yeah.
So there you go. Just drop off a pallet of vitamin C at her.
Yeah, she needs it. I swear it's been a rough time. Yeah. So, all right. Cool. Big hugs and love to everybody. And we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Come With Us podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media at Come With Us Podcast and send in your questions, comments, and confessions to comewithusconfessions@gmail.com. Until next time, keep it fun, flirty, and naughty.